welcome into episode number 268 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
268. Gonna be great.
I told you not to say that.
I know. And I wasn't going to, but then you told me not to. So I did.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. Michael, last week you had some an interesting fact about perfect games, but you almost got abdicated.
I did. But between us recording the podcast and the podcast posting,
which is only 3 days.
3 days.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani had a perfect game through, I think, 6 1/3.
Yeah, uh-huh. You were watching that.
And I was watching it going, like, this would be great as an Angels fan, but this is really going to screw up my fact with the podcast.
But your fact was which two teams played against each other. Was the team they were playing, that have resulted in a second game, a second between two teams?
This is the thing, I don't know.
Okay.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah. But it could have possibly affected it.
It absolutely could have positively happened. The Oakland A's play each other, and the Angels play each other so often.
Right. It's likely that there was another one there somewhere from the Oakland side.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to point it out that we try to be timely, but sometimes it happens.
We're even more timely than we know we are.
Right. Sometimes. Okay, cool. I don't want to go first, but I would like Nick to go first today.
Okay, I've got two. I've got last week we talked about the ideal length of things.
Which, by the way, we came in at exactly 22 minutes for length of the podcast, uh-huh. And we talked about the perfect length being 22 minutes.
Right.
And I really want to claim that we did that on purpose.
Right.
Just like totally at the finals, I purposely put unfriendly neighbors and won't you be our neighbor next to each other on purpose.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That was by design.
100% we wanted to get right in that 22 minutes.
Right. So I can either go back to that because we said we were going to talk about that a little bit more, and we will, or I can go food. Go food?
Yeah. Okay. We ate. I'm happier, as we can tell.
Yes.
Okay. What? So how many tastes do you have? How many tastes are there?
Five. Different.
There are five. Can you name them?
Sweet.
Uh-huh.
Sour.
Yeah.
Salty.
That's three.
Savory.
Is that what it's called?
Bitter. That's four.
Yeah.
There's one more.
There's that fifth one with, I think, like a Japanese.
Wasn't this?
Name.
Yes. You are absolutely right.
What is the fifth one called?
I don't know what it's called, but it's a Japanese word.
It's umami.
Umami.
Umami. Yeah. Ah.
Umami is the fifth one, which is
I kept
the
thinking
weird
unagi,
word.
But I know that's friends thing.
Yeah, that is not it. So there are five tastes. What is the most? There are very few foods that in the one bite hit on all five of those tastes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and there are even less of them that hit on them in equal measure.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Okay,
I understand.
So it's one of these kind of like perfect food mentalities, right? It hits all five tastes, it hits all of them in equal measure, and it does the same thing in every bite.
Well, as someone who has seen at least 1,500 episodes of Chopped, uh-huh. I feel very good.
Confident in your ability to pull this?
In the sense that I have no ability to pull it.
What is the most common food that hits on all five and does it in equal measures?
The most common food that hits on all five, does it in all equal measures. Yep. Is this something that is easily accessible to, could I go into a grocery store and get this? Is this a cooked meal or is this like a
No. It's you can go into a grocery store and buy this food product.
Okay, so it's a food product.
Yes.
Maple bacon.
Maple bacon is a excellent answer, but no, okay. That is not it.
Huh. I don't even know what
this is, category. I would go so far as to say that both of you have this in your refrigerators at home.
Both of us have this in our refrigerators at home.
There's like an 80% chance, sorry to cut you off, but there's like an 80% chance we have it here in the office.
Okay, I'm going to go with something that has a lot of flavors, that is mass produced, and that I know I use all the time.
Uh-huh.
I want to say salad dressing, like a Caesar salad dressing.
No.
Okay.
That's an excellent answer. Excellent guess, but no.
I think I have another guess. Mustard?
You are super close.
It was
ketchup.
A mayo?
Ketchup.
Okay.
Oh, ketchup.
It is ketchup. Specifically, Heinz ketchup.
Oh.
Interesting.
Heinz ketchup is the food that it hits on all five in equal measures. That's when you have a custom-made ketchup, like an artisanal ketchup, and you taste it and you're like, this is weird. Huh. It's because it's either missing one of those pieces or it is in non-equal measures. So like sweetness is favored over, you know.
How do they test this? They have professional testers?
So there's going to be a link in the link dump. That will, it's from a New Yorker article from 2004 that will go over every step of the process of determining all different kinds of foods and where they rank and how they do it.
Does this also include the purple Shrek version of Heinz ketchup?
It does not include the purple Shrek version, although that might just be food coloring, I would think.
I mean, I just think it's impressive they got any amount of food to be dyed purple. That's awesome.
So it's just, it's one of those things. I mean, the article even goes even further into like market research and how they come up with certain things. Like the squeeze bottle, the easy little squeeze bottle that you have in your refrigerator at home. Mm-hmm. How they came across that was that they did in-home studies of people and how they use ketchup. And they were watching a four-year-old like try to do it, and it was this big like 45-ounce bottle, and he was struggling with it. So they came up with smaller bottles that allowed the four-year-old to do it, because a four-year-old eats 12% more ketchup than a 40-year-old.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. They all the children I know, it's just swimming in ketchup.
Yeah.
Also, sorry to my friend Kyle, who is extremely afraid of ketchup, and I'm sorry that you had to listen to this. I don't know why you have a fear of ketchup, but I'm sorry about it. And that being said, I want to transition into another food-related fact.
Sure.
That's not really food-related in the sense that it won't make you eat. What do you guys know about Typhoid Mary?
She was a cook.
Yes.
She
had typhoid.
Yeah.
Typhoid fever,
and
yeah.
She, I believe, intentionally infected people with her ailment.
That's a rumor. Okay. And maybe the plot of like a a horror film. What I didn't know about her was that she lived a long period of her life in complete isolation.
Really?
Yeah. So she was one of the first people that they discovered to be a healthy carrier. So she didn't think that she was infected at all.
Okay.
She was serving as a cook to a lot of affluent families. A sanitation engineer started to realize that there was a pattern and realized that she was
everywhere she
lake.
Worked. Yeah.
Yeah. So they kind of were like, hey, you need to go live in isolation for a couple years. And they're like, ah, that's a little harsh. Even though you have it, we'll let you back out. But right. All you have to do, Mary, is just promise not to be a cook.
Right.
Don't be a cook.
Yeah.
Well, flash
seems
forward.
Reasonable.
Yeah. Someone under the name of Mary Brown, breakout at a sanitation hospital. Two people died, 25 people infected. It was her. Uh-huh. She went back to being a cook.
Yeah.
After that.
Well, you do what you know.
Yeah. After that, New York was like, all right, we're not messing around, Mary. You're going to go live by yourself.
Uh-huh.
How long was she in isolation after that?
Oh, man. Like, so her second isolation.
So her second.
Her Elba Island.
Her second stint of isolation. Which, by the way, if you want the background, it was primarily peach ice cream and a lack of washing your hands after going to the bathroom is how they think most of these people are infected, because ice cream was, you know, very rich person food.
That's just gross. Yeah. That's just common decency.
Yeah. Turn of the 20th century.
So how long did she live by herself in her second isolation?
Now, in her second isolation, was this till her death?
Till her death.
Okay.
R.I.P. Mary. Also inspired a comic book character, as you're thinking about it. One of Daredevil's enemies, Typhoid Mary.
Creative name.
Right.
All right. So let's assume for a second that she lived to be what? This was what? Late 1800s?
Early 20th century. So 1909 was kind of the first breakout of the incident. And then the second time was, you know, mid-1900s.
Okay. So
mid-1910s.
Assuming for a second that she wasn't
What's
a baby.
What's that called? Mid-1910s? We don't know.
Yeah. Assuming for a second she wasn't a baby in the teens,
right.
19-teens, meant she was born in the late 1800s.
That is correct.
I'm pretty sure she died pre-World War II. So okay. That
pre-World
would put
War
her,
II, so
yeah.
That's 1945.
That would put her at what, like 70-ish? Something like that. I'm going to say 35 years. Half her life was in isolation after that.
Okay, 35 years. Michael, your guess?
I was going to say like 10 years because just...
That's a long time to be alone.
It's a long time to be alone, but I also didn't like... If you have typhoid fever and all that stuff, like...
She was a healthy carrier. She didn't actually have the disease. Okay, she just carried the disease.
Yes.
Well, I'm still thinking like at this point, I'm taking some of your logic a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But I'm also thinking, like, what were the life expectancies in the early 1900s? You know what
true,
I mean?
True. It's probably more like 50s or 60s
right.
than
so,
70s.
So I'm going to say, like, 10 years.
Okay.
Okay. It's about right in the middle. So 23 years.
Yeah.
Which obviously has led to a lot of people point to this case as to, you know, individual civil liberties versus, you know, public health. And she was kind of one of the first examples of what they discovered to be a healthy character. So
Carrier. Yeah.
Carrier. Sorry. So lawmakers and historians kind of think that she was an example of like, yeah, honey, we're telling you, you're not healthy. You're not healthy, even though you feel it. So right. you need to just, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's yeah, she has the right to work. She has the right to live her life. But, yeah, but she also can't infringe upon other people's right to life.
Don't put your fecal matter near peach ice cream.
That's just a good rule in general.
Rule of life, really.
Yeah. Also, if you're rich and you're having ice cream, is peach really the go-to?
It was back then.
I'm not going with peach.
Orange sherbet for me.
Really?
Okay, that's where you're going? Not even ice cream.
Are you the creamsicle guy?
I actually don't like creamsicles.
Really? Orange
sherbet.
Orange sherbet creamsicle.
Growing up, it was very much me and my brother, big fans.
All right. Well, go on your fact.
Okay. So I kind of got lost down the wormhole here.
Oh, fun. Love those days.
I really thought, okay, what's a really simple, easy question for the podcast?
Okay.
What kind of bird is Big Bird?
Oh my gosh, we're not doing a bird question.
We're doing bird questions.
He is a canary.
Here's the problem.
That's Tweety. Isn't Tweety a canary?
Yes.
Tweety is a canary. There have been, over the years, many answers to this question.
Okay. Many accurate answers or many theories?
Given answers.
Okay.
So during a 1976 appearance on Hollywood Squares, the host asked Big Bird, "What kind of bird are you?" Said, "I'm a lark."
A lark, okay.
When Big Bird went missing in the 1978 Christmas Eve on Sesame Street, Oscar the Grouch reassures Maria, joking that Big Bird is part homing pigeon.
Okay.
Okay. Well, part homing pigeon, sure. Right.
There is a lot of stuff with him being a canary.
Right, because he's yellow.
Because he's yellow, right. And then when he appeared on, let me see, it's, where'd it go? On Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, he describes himself as a golden condor.
Okay.
Okay, well, that makes sense, given the
None
size.
Of this is my fact.
Okay. It's all super interesting.
It's all very interesting. Yeah. I just wanted to demonstrate how far I had to go to get this little piece of knowledge.
Okay.
So.
None of that is accurate, though.
Well, yeah, no, so that's, which is why it's not my question. It was like, oh, this would be an easy question. I think this would be great. This would be a fun one.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to go, oh, that's good.
He's a dinosaur.
Well, that's not that. None of that. It's not a
chicken. He's a chicken.
My question is this: how tall is Big Bird?
7'2".
Okay.
I think that I agree with you that I think he is 7 feet. I was going to say 7 feet was my guess, so I'll undercut him by 2 inches. 7 feet.
Big Bird's 8'2".
8 foot?
8'2".
He's eight
so close.
Really?
Were you pulling that from knowledge somewhere?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's I look, I've been doing trivia for almost a decade now. That's one of those things that's it's in there somewhere.
Right.
And I tried to pull it out.
It was
and
blank
I got the two.
Too. You got
I knew it was the 2 inches. It was I missed on the feet.
Right. Yeah. Big Bird's 8'2".
Yeah, that's a big bird.
And has been performed by the same person since 1969. By
yeah,
the way.
Carol
Spinney.
Carol Spinney, yeah.
Still the same person?
Still the same person. I'm on the Muppet Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Carol
He's been
doing
it from the beginning.
Wow.
But in 1997, they took on an understudy.
Yes.
Which I feel like is a fair thing to do eventually. I feel like you should have somebody. Right.
Absolutely. But think about it. Can you imagine being Big Bird's understudy and you're like, you know what? In a couple of months and maybe a year and a half, I'm going to get to be the man. And then 20 years later, you're still waiting in the wings. Pun intended.
This is a question.
Jesus.
And you got
that. That is a Lindsay worthy
I can
right
do
there.
Puns. I can do puns too.
No, but that's exactly what it is. Matt Vogel has been the understudy since 1997.
That is a great question. What is the name of Carol Spinney's understudy?
Okay, then that'll
no,
be
that will not be the question. Okay. I'm going to veto that.
Matt Vogel is the understudy for which large yellow bird?
We're going to ask how tall he is. Or how tall, how tall Big Bird is.
Right.
But here's a question. So sure. A common thing that we've talked about before that Big Bird was supposed to be on the Challenger, but the suit didn't actually fit
right
in the spaceship. What am I saying? You know what I'm talking about. It didn't fit.
The costume didn't fit in the shuttle.
Yes, the shuttle. That's the word. Sorry. So it didn't fit in the shuttle. Was that performer going to be in the suit, or were they going to give it to an actual astronaut to be inside the suit? Do we know that?
I don't believe.
I don't
we
think
do.
We do. But my guess would be. Know. My guess would be it would be Carol Spinney.
Wow. I wonder if she went through any astronaut training.
He.
Yeah, he.
He? Carol is a he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, my bad. I'm sorry for assuming.
Just for kind of a follow-up, Big Bird's birthday is March 20th.
Oh. Happy belated birthday,
happy,
Big Bird.
Happy belated
How
birthday.
How old is he?
That is, it's six. He's about six.
This is the stuff you know when you're a four-year-old. You have a four-year-old, and right. You've been watching nothing but Sesame Street for the last 40 months.
There you go.
Cool. Well, Nick, do you want to get into your perfect length for things as we wrap up here at the end of the episode?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. We can get through this, and we don't have to revisit it next week, which is great.
We always do that. We're like, we're going to talk about this, and whoa.
Yeah. All right. So I've got a ton of different things on here. They're all internet. Based, all backed by research. We talked last week, length for a podcast is 22 minutes. How about a tweet? What's the perfect number of characters for a tweet?
This is for someone to read it or to get retweets?
The basic mentality behind all of this is in a marketing context, i.e. how do you get more people to read, watch, listen,
right,
pay attention to what it is you are doing. Yes. So it's we'll get to like a subject line in an email. If you want people to open the email, what's the ideal number of characters for a subject line? Those kinds of things.
So this is for a tweet.
This is the ideal length of a tweet.
In characters.
In characters, yes.
Okay.
Now, Twitter just, it was originally limited to 140 characters or raised
140
to
was the number for a really long time.
Yeah, was they increased it, but 140, to 280. Was, yeah, 140 was the original. So as a baseline.
Here's what I'll say.
Yeah.
People at Twitter, they seem to know what they're doing.
Okay.
In maybe. So I'm going to say the ideal length is just over 140. So okay. I'm going to say like 155.
Lindsay?
I'm going to say that it's less. I'm going to go the other way.
Okay.
I think that it's about 120.
It is 100 characters even. 100 characters is the perfect thing. And this is I only bring this up because you are in charge of all of our social media, so you should probably pay attention.
Oh gosh, don't tell people that. I don't want people to know that. I mean, it's obvious because it's a lot of Mean Girls GIFs, but
right, yeah.
Yeah, there's a person behind those social media accounts.
On top of that, the responses to people when they complain to us are not death threats, which means that Michael and I are out.
Yeah.
Well, there's definitely a lot of versions when I'm responding to things.
Yes, there are.
Lots and lots of Mean Girls GIFs, always.
Right. Facebook post. Number of characters for a Facebook post.
What percentage of that is memes? Is a meme?
I don't believe a meme or a picture count toward the characters.
That's all it is. It's all just babies right now.
Yep.
Yes.
And wedding announcements. But I'm going to say the perfect length is obviously over 100 characters. So I'm going to say 400 characters.
How many characters is
400
little
characters.
Boy Smith due in November? Like that's all. I'm gonna stick with my Twitter answer. 155.
155. It's 40. 40 words is the ideal.
40,
really?
40 Wait, words.
40 words. Facebook is less
words.
Than Twitter.
Sorry, characters. 40 okay. characters. Yeah, Facebook is less than Twitter.
See, I would have definitely thought that was flipped.
Yeah, it's not. All right. I'll skip over things that nobody cares about. A Google Plus headline, things along those. The ideal length of a headline, like a newspaper article headline.
20 characters.
No, in words. It just has it in words.
Okay. 10 words.
Okay.
Six words.
Lindsay has 10 two-character words.
Yes.
Well, I think at least three of them need to be rhyming for a newspaper headline, too.
Okay. Six words. Six words is the ideal length of a headline. A blog post. Does anybody blog anymore?
Yeah, I got a lot of friends that blog.
Okay, so the ideal length of a blog post is you can either give it to me in words or how long it takes to read in minutes.
How long it takes to read in minutes, I'm going to say eight minutes.
13.
Lindsay, you are super close. 7 minutes. Seven minutes is the right period of time. There's so many of these.
Give me one more.
One more. All right. Since you've been doing a lot with this, the ideal length of a email subject line.
An email subject line.
Yeah.
Oh, which by the way, if you're a district trivia member and you attended the finals, we sent out an email to RSVP a feedback survey. So make sure that you fill out that survey because we always want your feedback and thank you.
And most importantly, how many characters long was the subject line for that email?
Probably too long because I like detailed subject lines because I like to organize my email very specifically. The subjects, like, do not try to talk to me about something else that is not in your subject line.
Right.
I hate that. Like, here's 40 things, but under the subject line, you know, August of 2016. That's
right.
No. Okay. I'm going to still stick with, and by still stick with, I mean start with 25 characters.
25 characters. All right, Michael?
40 characters.
You guys could not have been closer. The ideal subject line is between 28 and 39 characters.
Oh, well done, Michael.
So,
well done.
Yeah, exactly it. One more real quick. Okay. Domain name.
Domain name.
Number of characters in a domain name.
12.
Michael's
counting.
You
got to think out loud. It's a podcast.
Thank you. It's an audio podcast. You're saying the look of confusion on my face isn't going to transfer over? Well, see, because now I'm just thinking, okay, what are the most popular websites?
Sure.
Google.
Right.
Facebook.
Right.
I'm going to say like 7 characters.
7 characters is not actually correct. It's actually...
Well, does this include www and .com?
No. It's okay. just a domain name. It's 8 characters.
8?
So you were, super close, and both of you were on either side of it.
Nice. Well done, Michael.
Yep.
I quickly found that Carol Spinney. Big Bird... NASA never reached an agreement to fly the actors from Sesame Street into space, but they do say that he was interested in going.
Okay.
So they didn't. It never got to the point where they said, yes, we're going to start training you, but, you know, he said he wanted to go.
Oh, who wouldn't want to go? Exactly.
I don't know. People that don't like space.
I was going to say
space.
Agoraphobes?
I guess. All right. I think that's your secret phrase. Agoraphobes don't like space.
There you go.
All right, cool. Agoraphobes don't like space. Oh my gosh, we're at 21 minutes and 30 seconds, but we won't waste 30 seconds more of your time, or will we? No, we won't. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We don't know either.
Bye.